Welcome back. 549, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT. And Stephen Dynan joins me now, a Washington Times political editor. And man, oh man, I have needed your help throughout the day. And I am so glad you're here. I have never seen so much voting going on over charges against Eric Holder in my life. Now, I didn't realize we had several votes to go through.
Yes, so they've held him in both civil and criminal contempt.
Yeah.
And that's essentially some of it's they're both holding him in contempt and then approving measures to try and enforce what they're actually enforce the contempt, which is sort of the difficult thing to do. But to boil it all down, they held him in contempt, got more than a dozen Democrats, depending on which vote, well more than a dozen Democrats to back them on that, and the Attorney General has replied that it's all political and great theater. We'll see where it ends up.
Yeah, well, see, and that would be my next question. All right, I watched the they had a vote to send it back to committee, if I recall correctly, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Back to committee, where the Democrats said that they basically laid out a list of Republican witnesses, Republican administration officials that the Democrats want called in order to try and expand it and accuse Republicans of having been complicit back under the Bush administration as well.
Okay. So then they have the criminal, the vote on criminal contempt,
right.
and that passes with, 17, 18 Democrats crossing
17,
over.
Right.
Right. And then the civil contempt charges, and more or less the same thing. Now, talk about those who walked out. What happened?
So this is actually the same thing that happened when Democrats voted back 4 or 5 years ago to hold then White House Counsel Harriet Myers and White House Chief of Staff Bolton in contempt. Republicans walked out of that vote. It's basically a way of of saying, look, we don't think this even deserves us being on the floor. So rather than vote no, we're just going to walk out and make the vote look lopsided. It's one of these things. It's a standard tactic. In this case, it's folks watching on TV, it actually just looks like a bunch of old people shuffling out of the chamber. It doesn't look anywhere near as dramatic as
true.
They intend for it to do. But those who are in the chamber see this huge mass of people sort of moseying towards the door, and you sort of know what's going on. But so essentially, the goal in doing that is that if people look at, say, a normal vote and see 420 people voting, and then look at this and see only about 300 people voting, the Democrats hope that they look at that and say, something weird about that vote. What must have been going on? Rather than just, if it's a full vote and you had 250 some odd voting for contempt, and somewhere in the upper 180s or so, 170s voting against contempt, people would just say, that's just a normal vote. And so the goal is to try and draw attention to the fact that people walked out by such a low total. Whether that works or not, I don't know. I have my suspicions.
Okay, now, I know the question I'm going to get from people later after the show. What does this mean? What happens to Eric Holder? He stays in his job, right?
He stays in his job, and it doesn't necessarily compel him to, the effort is to try and compel him, but it doesn't have any instantaneous effect. And there have been, in the House's world, what would happen is that Holder would, a U.S. attorney would go and tell Eric Holder, okay, you need to turn over these documents. Basically, federal agents would go in and say, give us the documents, they're under subpoena and you're in contempt, and pursue this through the courts. The person who would bring that, of course, is a U.S. attorney who reports to Eric Holder. So that's probably not so likely. And in fact, back under the Bush Bush situation, the Attorney General made it clear that he would not be enforcing the subpoenas against the White House back then. So essentially, this just escalates the conflict. And, it probably does at some point the House Republicans will actually go ahead and file a lawsuit and make a Holder appear before essentially an independent party, in this case a federal judge, and the judge will have a say. So it begins a court process, but it does very little to actually compel the documents in the short term. What it may do is add a little pressure to the Attorney General to enter into more heated negotiations. They've already been doing some negotiating, and that hasn't gone very far.
Yeah. Congressman Tim Murphy of Pennsylvania was just on the show just before your presence here this afternoon, and we were talking, obviously, about health care. He's a doctor. He's a co-chair of the Republican Doctors Caucus.
The Doctors Caucus, right.
Right. And at the end, I wanted to ask him about the vote regarding Eric Holder, and he, you know, he told me the way he felt, and he told me, you know, it, basically what you just said about it, obviously in a lot shorter fashion, but he said at the end his wish was Holder would come forward, come to his senses, and volunteer the information. That, in my mind, is wishful thinking, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the issue is this. The administration is counting on people looking at this and saying, ah, that's just Democrats and Republicans fighting. We don't care. Republicans are trying to put a very human face on this, the face of the Border Patrol agent Brian Terry, the guy who ended up dead and two of these guns found at the scene. You know, if Republicans succeed in that, then the political pressure becomes such that you know, once this issue starts hurting the White House and they see it hurting them, then they cave. Then they actually turn them over. Until they see any actual political penalty for this, no, then you're right, it's wishful thinking. And so the goal is, you know, as always, these things come down to where voters are. If voters care and voters make those feelings known in one direction or the other, a side will cave.
Yeah. All right. So before Murphy left, he said, you know, this is a cover-up. He's covering for something. But you and I both know, watching political history, sometimes the cover-up is actually worse than the crime. And I'm wondering if this is a case of that.
We don't know, but there's absolutely that possibility there just because of this. You know, what's at stake here? This is no longer... The committee, the investigative committee, has already gotten a number of the documents about the actual Fast and Furious operation. The key problem is that back in February of 2011, the Justice Department said, no, we never knowingly let guns walk, which was patently untrue. The Justice Department took this extraordinary step 10 months later of withdrawing that letter, that information from Congress, and acknowledging they were wrong. You know, that essentially, depending on your standpoint, that's either being wrong with Congress or lying to Congress. And so the investigation now is, how in the world did you guys lie to Congress, and what and how did it take you 10 months to admit that you were lying to Congress? So the investigation now is into those months and months and months of Justice Department deliberations over essentially trying to find out, hey, when did you guys find out this was wrong, and what took you so long? It's no longer just about Fast and Furious. It's about Congress's prerogatives, which is why Republicans had thought they might get more Democrats on board. But, you know, from the White House standpoint, as long as they can keep this as an issue of, oh, it's just politics, they're attacking us, the White House feels they're in good shape.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you very much for bringing some light to this, and I know we'll continue to follow the story in the days ahead.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, have fun. Thanks, Stephen.
My pleasure.
Stephen Dinan, Washington Times political editor. 557, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT.